differences between circumcision and baptism. 12 or 13. There are some 3 or 4 more points which we have not dealt with that I want to bring to your attention. I mentioned this morning that while some might be aware of it, many do not, that infant baptism is somewhat tied to Old Testament circumcision. As various denominations were founded by men and women, there was always that problem that sometimes a year, 5 years after the denomination was founded, sometimes 10 years, somebody within the denomination come up with a point that the founder had not thought about. It's sometime member of a denomination read a very plain passage and brought it to the attention of the founder of the denomination. And sometimes when they examine the passage, they discover that you cannot just ignore it. A lot of times what has happened is that another falsehood have to be founded to bring, should I call it cohesiveness, to bring a thought of unity of teaching in that denomination. Many denominations. It is for this reason you find there is a type of evolvement. You know, something that is evolved in science, it is spoken about much. It constantly going through changes. And revision. You say revive? Refinement. Okay. Because in addition to the evolvement, refinement, there is also revision. For example, when the Anglican was founded, they, like their sister, the Roman Catholic, did not marry. But in recent times, the Anglican has adopted the doctrine that their leaders can marry. And if you follow the Roman Catholic, you find that in one form or the other, they are also going through revision. Mark you, we hear a lot about revision in book. You write a book, and afterward, you may gain more knowledge, more experience, more enlightenment on the subject. So after the book has been published for 5-10 years, in its 5th or 6th printing, there is a revision. There are some things that have changed. Well, man-made churches go through that process. But notice this. With the teachings of Jesus Christ, it needs no revision. This is why Jude could write that he was contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's right. The teachings of Jesus Christ was once delivered, fixed, sealed, and is completely perfect. It needs no revision. That is, no amendment. Man-made teaching always need amendment, but not the Bible. And it was on that basis, our conviction that Christ's teaching needs no revision, that Paul could write that if an angel from heaven come and interfere with what we have given you, curses on that angel. Because what the apostle gave, it was settled and fixed by God before the world was created. Circumcision or infant baptism. In the first place, infants have no reason to be baptized, because baptism is for the removal of sin. Infants are not sinners. As we continue to explain and to illustrate, when Jesus Christ took that little infant in his hands and said to his followers, unless you become like one of these, Jesus Christ was saying, unless you become like one of these little devils. That's not what he was saying. He was projecting the infant as a sinless, innocent, pure child of God. And that infant would not be a sinner until that child grew up old enough to know wrong from right and to make the choice to choose wrong over right. So an infant has no reason to be baptized. But it was considered what should be done with infants. And part of the reasoning was that in the Old Testament, God set the example in the circumcision of infants. Well, they got mixed up there, and people can get mixed up and confused. My God, I mean, even in recent times, sometimes when I hear a radio preacher preaching, sometimes some like intelligent people who would spend time studying God's word, you realize that they are mixed up, totally mixed up. So, we have looked on the fact that as I've said, we have looked at some 12 reasons baptism and circumcision are different. Remember, but I take you to the passage where the Bible draw an illustration of a particular sameness between baptism and circumcision. So you must not deny it, because it's a good point. It further emphasize the passage in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 11 or 12, further shows the importance of baptism. Let us hear that passage. I think I said Colossians chapter 2, and I think it is stated somewhere in verse 10, 11, and 12.
And ye are complete in him.
We are made complete in Jesus Christ,
which is the head of all principality and power.
In Jesus Christ, nothing is lacking when we are in Christ. Read.
In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands.
Notice again, in whom? every day as you read, it is in Jesus Christ that this circumcision takes place. But this is not referring to the Old Testament circumcision. Circumcision is brought up because the two incidents share something common, and he's going to tell you. In whom?
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
Now here, the inspired apostle, being directed by the Holy Spirit, had to drop in that this circumcision is different from the Old Testament one. Under the Old Testament, that one was always done with hands. But this circumcision is going to be done by Jesus Christ, and it's going to be done without hands. Read on.
In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
By the circumcision that comes from Christ, or the one that Christ does. You see, it is this passage that makes men and women who most likely they did not study the Bible thoroughly enough come to want to tie circumcision and baptism like Siamese twin in almost every way. And that's not what this passage. The passage picks out that one area. The one area that the two things are alike is that in both there is a removal of something. That's in both circumcision and baptism, there is a removal of something. That's where the two things has something in common. Other than that, they part company. So, circumcision was obedience to the law of Moses. Baptism is obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. Let us run to John 7:23. John 7:23.
If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?
The point here is that when that 8th day come for the child to be circumcised, be it fall on the Sabbath or some other day, the child had to be circumcised. That's what is under consideration here, you know. And Jesus Christ is taking the Jews up on the point that I heal a man on the Sabbath and you want to condemn me. What about your circumcision that you practice almost every day? When the 8th day comes for him to be circumcised, if it falls on the Sabbath, he's going to be circumcised. That's the point here. So as I've said, circumcision was obedient to the law of Moses. Baptism is obedient to the law of Christ or to the gospel. Now, I'm sure this one was not discussed previously, the point I'm about to raise now. No one can be a scripturally, can be a scriptural subject for baptism who is not first taught the gospel. I want you to get this point. No one can be baptized scripturally according to the scripture if that person is not first taught. In circumcision, most of those circumcised were circumcised before they were able to take teaching. It's a very important point in respect to the vast difference between circumcision and baptism. You cannot, we cannot baptize a man or woman if the person is not able to accommodate the teaching of the gospel. In fact, I'm speaking even if the person is an adult, but the person might be intoxicated, the person might be irrational, the person cannot be scripturally baptized. Because to be baptized properly, you must be in a position to rationally accept the basics and the fundamental of Christ's teaching, to be in a position to accept it, to reject it, before you can be baptized. In circumcision, whether you accept it or reject it was no consideration. The little pygmy, oh my God, they didn't know anything that you say. As I've said, most were circumcised before they were old enough to be taught. Another area of difference between circumcision and baptism. Circumcision was a part of and relate to the law of Moses. New Testament baptism is a part of and relate to grace. To grace. Look at St. John chapter 1, verse 17.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
I wonder if you see what I see. Jesus Christ in this passage is implying that even if there were some degree of grace at that time, it's like grace was almost absent under the Old Testament system. Grace was there, you know, but nothing like the grace that was made available in Jesus Christ. Because this is why you have the contrast. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ. Showing there's a difference. That's why the but, the contrast, as if to imply that grace was almost completely absent. Not only that, it says grace and truth. Christ says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, as I've said, circumcision was a part of and relate to the law of Moses. New Testament baptism is a part of and relate to the grace of the Almighty God are shown in Jesus Christ. Not a point of difference. Circumcision did not change the relationship of the person being circumcised. That is, his relationship with the Almighty God. That's right. The person being circumcised was already Jews or Israelite. From they were born in the Jewish nation, they were God's people. That's right. Circumcision was a mark of distinction. That's part of distinguishing them from the Gentiles. The Jews usually use their circumcision to curse the Gentile. You uncircumcised Gentile. The Jews make a big thing out of circumcision. But remember, it did not change the relationship. Baptism does. That's one of the area I went on to 4 points this morning. I said there were some 10 to 12 areas where at baptism all these take place simultaneously one time. You don't have to wait 1 hour. And if I choose to pick up on that lesson Sunday coming, we will look on the other 7 or 8 points. Things that are accomplished by the Almighty God for us at baptism and at no other step of salvation. And one of the things is that our relationship changed from being sinners to being saints. That is done at baptism. No such change took place at circumcision. That's right. No one is a Christian until after baptism. The Jews were Jews or Israelite before they were circumcised. That's right. And last but not least, circumcision could not have been replaced by baptism. You see, because that's part of the doctrine, that baptism takes the place of circumcision. I repeat, while there is one area that baptism and circumcision share something in common, the idea that baptism, replace circumcision. That could not be so. You know why? Watch here now. There were many men and women who became Christian who were both circumcised and afterward were baptized. I'm making that so. Let me repeat it now and explain. And that is showing that baptism did not replace circumcision. in that there were many men and women who became Christian in the first century who were circumcised. After they were circumcised, they heard the gospel, responded to it, and got baptized. So they were both circumcised and baptized. But you see, the circumcision did them no good, no benefit, because at that time, circumcision was withdrawn by God. It has no validity. Baptism did not come to replace circumcision. I have no doubt that in John's baptism, it was the same situation, that Jews who were circumcised and then afterward learned about John's baptism, they got baptized. I have no doubt that when we have some 3,000 people getting baptized and the day of Pentecost, that would have included Jews who were previously circumcised but got baptized. It was simply a new dispensation, a new system. Christianity, for which the world waited. Christianity that God intend to bring true forgiveness, cleansing, fellowship, was now in place. And it will last until the end of the world. There will not be a legitimate divine plan of salvation, a religion. Christianity is it. It was now in place. Circumcision and anything related to the law or whatever has no place. So the last point would have made some 17 difference that over the past many weeks I have shown between circumcision and baptism. And if at any time you want, in fact, as time goes on, I may have this typed out, printed, so that those who want a copy, because as you sit here tonight, something going to come up in your confrontation with somebody you're trying to teach in respect to the place of circumcision as against baptism. You are going to be called upon to explain the difference sometime or the other in your Christian journey. Thank you.